Mike Wilner joins us. Hello, Michael.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. Actually, I told the Cessny that we weren't going to be able to do it next Saturday, but it has occurred to me that I probably will be
able to do it.
Not completely out of touch.
Oh, okay,
by
good.
Saturday, I'll be off the grid like Monday to Friday. But
yeah.
Saturday morning, I'm back.
So what are you
not
going into a bunker?
Not in Toronto.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm...
We can talk about your experience at the State of the French Fries.
Right, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about. So it's called Lead Off or Leading Off or something. So you got
the
a new name?
Lead Off, I think.
The
yeah,
Lead Off. I should probably know that. I'm going to be there on Thursday. You know what? Personally, I'm on a personal level, and maybe you should be excited for me as well because I'll take some pictures. I'm just looking forward to being down at the ballpark, you know, seeing the... I imagine the turf's going to be laid out. I don't know if they'll have the mound up and everything because I'm sure there's events... between now and opening day. But I'm just looking forward to, you know, being down there, seeing the sights and the, I guess not the sounds, but the sights again, Mike.
Yeah, it'll be very cool. I was actually at the Dome last week when I went to Pitch Talks in Ottawa on Friday. I left my car there because I took the train to Ottawa, and there was a slow pitch tournament going on inside, so the turf was all down. It was all laid out. And yeah, it's nice to get back into that. It seems like it's been a very, very, very short, very busy winter, but you still are kind of champing at the bit.
I am.
I am too, to get to the baseball again.
Thank you for saying champing, by the way, as well.
Yeah, no, it's not champing.
Is there a Pitch Talks like every day? Is there a Pitch Talks happening right now?
There was one I did last Friday in Ottawa, last night. And there was one on Tuesday in between. So,
right.
Yes, there may, in fact, be one every night.
Yeah, yes. There's more Pitch Talks than UFC events, which is saying a lot, because there's a UFC event like every other minute, it seems like.
Well, Pitch Talks are a lot more fun and more affordable than UFC events. So there you go.
And almost as violent. Nearly.
Yeah, almost. Almost.
Very good. Talking to Mike Wilner right now. So these things, I've never been to one. It's season ticket holders for the leadoff on Thursday. And we know so much of the narrative being written going into this season is about Mark Shapiro and the hated Ross Atkins and the fan base being so outraged that Alex Anthopoulos is no longer with this team. And why couldn't they make it work? And why wasn't Mark Shapiro nicer to Alex? We hate him already. I'm overstating it. I think only slightly, though, because that does feel like the overriding sentiment. Of course, so much of that can change during the course of a season. All it takes is a couple of wins, like a good April, and all is forgiven, all is forgotten. What kind of – I imagine these questions are vetted on Thursday, or is there the potential for an awkward scene?
There used to be. They used to just let people walk up to the microphone and ask questions.
That doesn't seem
now,
smart.
Now, the last couple of years, it's been pre-approved questions that are up on the big scoreboard, and they're all sent in from season ticket holders, but they pick which ones they're going to answer, and that's the right way to do it this year.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've overstated what a lot of people feel. Although I wouldn't say the hated Ross Atkins. I think the overwhelming sentiment is the hated
pawn.
Mark Shapiro and the puppet Ross Atkins.
That's
yeah.
Right.
And none of, you know, those things aren't really true. I mean, it's true that a lot of people seem to hate Mark Shapiro a lot. But when I did my half-hour live Blue Jays talk last night at Pitch Talks, the first thing I said was Mark Shapiro is not the devil. And I don't know that a lot of Blue Jays fans believe that. For some reason, there seems to be this sentiment that he's here to ruin the team, that he's here to take away all our nice things, and you know, he'll sit there cackling in glee as the Blue Jays finish in last place in each of the 5 years of his tenure, which, I mean, it's so counterintuitive. It doesn't make any sense at all why anyone would think that. Why would someone take a job where he wants to go and fail?
Unless it's like the producers, Mike.
Right, yeah. This isn't not going to be a massive tax write-off, though, for
okay.
Max Bialystok.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about that. So I don't, you know, I get the yeah, people don't like that Alex Anthopoulos isn't here anymore. I don't like that Alex Anthopoulos isn't here anymore, and it's unfortunate that he isn't. That is not entirely Mark Shapiro's fault. I think that there's certainly blame to be handed to him, for sure, for it. But it's mostly about ownership and the way they set up the situation and didn't react to the changes that were happening over the course of the season. So I hope he gets a fair shot from people. I think there are going to be a lot of people who are very angry, who are very upset, who are going to be at that leadoff on Thursday.
Oh, fun.
But I don't know that many of them will get a chance to vocalize their upsetness.
By the way, now I have Springtime for Hitler in my head. I can't get it out. Help me.
The producer's version, the Broadway version, the movie version, or the Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass version?
I'm not sure which version it is, because I've never actually seen the producers in any capacity, but I just know the song.
Oh, so, wow. Well, yeah. You should see the movie.
Oh, 100%, yeah. Actually, you know what? Maybe did they actually ever sing it in the Curb Your Enthusiasm story arc where Larry David was in the producers?
I don't remember.
Yeah, that was great, too. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So Meisser is...
I need to correct myself. I'm sorry.
What?
It was Henry Mancini that recorded the instrumental Springtime for Hitler, not Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass.
Okay. I'm sure a lot of people were punching their radios in disgust and are now satiated by that information. So Meisser Asturias is back, Mike, on a minor league. Huh? There's no bad minor league deals. We all understand that. If he's what Meisser Asturias was, he's certainly a better offensive option than Darwin Barney. But I kind of like the idea of Darwin Barney being like that defensive guy at second base. But I guess Asturias can nominally play shortstop.
Yeah, and so can Barney, though. I think that if you like the idea of Barney being that defensive guy at second base, I don't know, you know, Ryan Goins is a defensive guy at second
base. No, I know.
So, but
Ryan Goins is going to start the season as the starter.
Right. So you don't need a defensive backup for him. You need a guy who can hit a little bit, because Ryan Goins has his issues with that. If Meisser Asturias is healthy, he's a fantastic utility infielder.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a much better person to have on your team than Darwin Barney. So it's a great look that way. But, I mean, after basically 3 years of not playing, two years of not playing, and 1 year of playing really badly, I'm not quite sure what Meisser has to offer anymore. So it'll be very interesting to see if he's capable of even really making a decent push to make the team.
But Darwin Barney's on a major league deal, is he not?
Yeah. But he has options.
Right, I guess, yeah. But all things being equal, would they not prefer to keep him up? Or, you know, I guess you can have two assets if you send him down.
Yeah, well, I would know. No, absolutely. Meisser, if the real Meisser Asturias, the healthy Meisser Asturias, makes your team better. Are they going to get that guy? Who knows? I'm not... bullish on that idea. I think he's really up against it. But again, if he's the guy the Blue Jays thought they were getting 3 years ago, then he should be on this team.
What are they like? What happens though? Do they have someone? Do they have like a caddy for him when he wants to go up and down the dugout steps? How do they do that?
They probably
have an elevator,
put a railing on it. I don't know if there's an elevator yet. They might be working on that in Dunedin as we speak.
Yeah, I would hope so, because if you do not recall, that's how Meisser Asturias went down for the entire season, I guess, right, Mike?
In Baltimore, like 7-11 games in, something like that.
Oh, it's brutal. So what, he just ripped up his ligaments or busted his kneecap? I forget what it was, but it was, not a great situation for a guy who was at the time a nice free agent acquisition for the Blue Jays, and was just his Blue Jays tenure beset by injuries, to say the least. So the Canadian Press with the story yesterday, Mike, about Ross Atkins talking to Jose Bautista down in Florida and getting to know both Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion personally before they go about negotiating contracts going into the season. I think we did discuss the Shai Davidi story on Sportsnet.ca. I think we did that when I was filling in for Jeff Blair on Wednesday, right? About how... Did we discuss that?
Do you recall? The Shai Davidi story about
how this season is so important, and there's twofold importance to it, because, you know, the the budget for 2017 could really hinge on how well this team does this year, and what the budget is in 2017 should have a real impact on whether or not this team is able to re-sign Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion. And the ideal time to do that would be before the season, but you don't even know what the payroll is going to be in 2017, so they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Did we discuss that?
We didn't talk about that, but all those things are true.
Yeah, right? Isn't it? It's a tough situation.
But I don't think, honestly, I think that no matter what, Jose Bautista wouldn't sign before the season anyway.
Yeah,
I would either. Willing, verbalized it beautifully last night at the pitch talks, and he's 1,000% right. Jose Bautista is all about Jose Bautista.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that to say that he's selfish or whatever, but I mean, he's all about the brand that is Jose Bautista. And he is definitely, one would think, very excited about the prospect of going into free agency and seeing how much he can get.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine there's any way that Jose Bautista does not go to free agency. It doesn't mean he's not going to stay here and re-sign with the Jays. But it just, you know, knowing the guy as not great as I know him, it really does seem like this is what he really wants, is to go test the market, see what other people say he's worth, and see what he can get.
I don't begrudge him at all, and I imagine you don't either.
No, not at all. He absolutely deserves it. You know, this is a guy who was Rule 5, this is a guy who had 1 year where he was with four different organizations in the same year. It took him a long time and a lot of work and a lot of grinding to get to the point where he is right now, where he's one of the best hitters in the game. And good for him. You know what? He deserves every penny he can get. So I don't think that no matter what the Blue Jays do, they couldn't lock him up prior to him becoming a free agent. I don't think that holds for Edwin.
Yeah.
I think Edwin would sign a long-term deal to stay at the right price. But again, the point's made, and it's correct. No one knows what the payroll is going to be. I mean, if the Blue Jays have a 2016 like 2015 was, does Rogers say, all right, look at all the money we made, we're going to up the payroll to 160 to keep these two guys? I have no idea. Or might even have to go up to 170 to keep those two guys.
Right.
If Rogers comes back and says, look, the Canadian dollar's in the crapper again, we're at 60 cents now, and so just to maintain at 140, 145 is going to cost us more, that's where we have to keep it, then that's where they have to keep it, and then Bautista and Encarnacion probably both go.
Right.
But you can't make those financial decisions now not knowing what the landscape's going to be.
Yeah, it is. I mean, with all that being said, seems like there's almost no chance that anything gets done before the season for either guy.
No, I don't think there is.
Yeah, which is a shame. Do we have an idea with the way free agency worked for Chris Davis and Yoenis Cespedes about what kind of a dollar figure we're looking at? It's $20 million plus per season for both guys, right?
I would imagine, yes, easily.
And can Edwin get a five-year deal? Is he a $100 million player? Is Jose a $100 million player going into his age 36 season?
I think he thinks he is, and I think that, you know, the contract that Victor Martinez signed a couple of years ago might indicate that he could be, because he's got a lot more defensive value than Victor does, and he's far more complete a player than Martinez is just a bat. I think he thinks he can get $100 million probably over 4 years, never mind five. He is a guy who should age well.
Yeah.
You know, he really, really.
You see him stretch all the time. Oh, he's
and,
like an
yeah,
elastic.
And he doesn't have a lot of miles on him either, yeah. Right? He wasn't a full-time player until he was almost 30. So he should age well. And those are arguments I'm sure that he and his agents will make as he moves into free agency. I don't see Edwin as a $100 million player. I mean, he's basically now already a DH only.
Yep.
He could maybe get Vic money, which was 4 and 68, but the landscape has changed since then as well. So I think a lot of it depends on what kind of year Edwin has right now. Because going into August last year, you know, he wasn't exactly setting the world on fire numbers-wise.
Yeah, he has those months, though, where he goes cuckoo bananas, like historically. I mean, he has historic months. Before we let you go, Mike, new spring training hats, you likey.
I don't know. It's a different blue than the rest of the uniform, which is weird.
Yeah, it's navy.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve judgment until I see it in person.
I like the picture. You know what? And I'm surprised I like it because I don't like the Canada Day hats. I don't like the red, and I don't generally like the maple leaf on the front because, you know, there's – I mean, what is it? It's the Maple Leafs or it's something else, not the Blue Jays. But I like those hats for whatever reason. I like the little Florida thing on the side, so it does differentiate itself as a spring training hat. I like it.
That's yeah, the Florida though. Thing's cool. I like that. I'm not sure about the blue on blue and navy, which isn't really a Blue Jays color.
Yeah.
Yeah, but those elements I like. And who knows, maybe when you see it live and in color for the first time, it'll be different, but right now I'm not a huge fan.
Well,
again, we'll see.
We're looking forward to seeing it live and in color. And Sportsnet, by the way, has double-digit spring training games coming your way. Pitchers and catchers.
We'll have three on the web before the first one's on TV. So make sure you stick with us.
Hey,
and last night.
Yeah, I was going to say Jesse Litch. He's going to join you or what?
Yeah, I think he'll do a few games. We'll see.
Cool.
I've been charged with finding analysts during the spring. Last year we had Marco Estrada do some of a game and Deonna Navarro and Devin Travis. So, Travis is hurt and hopefully he'll be able to hang out with me quite a bit. I'm hoping that some spring training instructors early on, like the Sal Fasanos and Tim Raines of the world, will do some games. And Jesse said he'd do a couple, so it'll be fun.
And Jesse certainly has, you would think, some motivation to do it, looking at his life past baseball because he's done as a player. Reading, Shai had a nice story on Jesse on sportsnet.ca a couple of days ago. I've spoken to him since his playing days have been up, but yeah, he's looking to get into broadcasting, maybe if not coaching, although the coaching thing seems to be going pretty well for him right now. So maybe there's a future in it for Mr. Jesse Litch. How'd he sound yesterday?
He was, he did a great job. He was fun. He was charming. He was funny. I'm looking forward to getting him behind the mic a couple of times this spring.
Cool. It's creeping ever closer. February 22nd, pitchers and catchers. Thank you, Michael. I'll try and do my best Mike Wilner impression on Thursday.
Just have fun and try not to.
That's nice. Do what? I don't know.
Try not to get caught up in the pitchforks and the.
Oh right. Yes. I think that'll be easy enough for me.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Thank you, Michael.
Bye bye.